Hare Krishna, everybody. Welcome to Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. Not the whole seminar, because the whole seminar is 10 lessons, 10 hours minimum. So we're going to do selected lessons for the devotees here in the morning. We're going to do three lessons, one today, one tomorrow, one Wednesday. And I haven't quite figured out the lessons for the other audiences yet, but at least I think I know what to do here. My name is Sureswara Das, and Srila Prabhupada initiated me. Let's see, I joined in 70, initiated me in 71. And somehow or other, I've always been connected with his books, either to distributing them or working on them at the BBT or writing articles based on them. And now in Mayapur, teaching Shastra courses from them. So why did I make this seminar? Well, long before I discovered there was a Prabhupada position committee, I didn't even know there was such a thing last year. I was teaching in Mayapur, and I noticed whenever I'd illustrate points from the Bhagavatam with Prabhupada stories, the devotees would look at me like, oh, you're so lucky, you saw Prabhupada, we never saw Prabhupada, we're so unlucky, woe is me. And so no matter how much I talked about Vani and Vapu and service and separation and how our core identity is that we're all Prabhupada followers in his ISKCON branch, they didn't believe it. They didn't quite, you know, still we're so unlucky like this. So I thought, look, this is wrong. This is, you know, Prabhupada, when he was walking among us on this earth, he made it very clear. And I also personally experienced, I had an experience of how Vani is more important than Vapu, that if we're going to last, if we're going to continue as a movement, you know, for the putative thousands of years we hear about, we're going to have to get really grounded here, all generations, in the life, the teachings, the mood, and the mission of not my Diksha Guru, but our founder Acharya. So I made a seminar. I determined I had to do that. And as soon as I determined that, I bumped into some BBC people, and they told me that there's a committee about this. I said, really? There's a committee? Well, that's probably why I never heard of it, because it's a committee. The old joke about a camel, right? What's a camel? It's a horse created by a committee. So anyway, I said, well, see, show me your mission, your goal. What do you? So they did, and I said, well, this is what I want to do. So they said, please do something. We haven't done anything, you know. Okay, so I made this seminar last year in Hawaii, where I'm based in the Honolulu Temple. I live in Prabhupada's old dressing room, right off his darshan room, where he dictated so many Bhaktivedanta purports. Anyway, long story, there isn't much time. So let's just get right to it. I'm going to show you, let's see, you have the stick, right? It's in there? Okay, so go to large version, click on it, go to the slides, and just stop on the first slide, and we'll get the, yeah, there you go. So there's the title. Whoops. It's Kali Yuga, right? Everything's a little cockeyed, out of kilter. That's pretty good. Good enough. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. You're going to hear me say this again and again, because he's not, Prabhupada is a spiritual master. He's a master of masters. So he's not just the Diksha Guru of 4,800 people, you know, in the 1960s and 70s, but he's the foundational guru, as our GBC resolution says, for all generations devotees, for all people, for all generations, for all time. And that's our core identity. We are Prabhupada Anugas. The subtitle, Celebrating Srila Prabhupada's Preeminent Position in ISKCON, as well as every Prabhupada follower's foundational relationship with him. This has been on the books, you know, for years. But do we practice it? Do we know it? Do we promote it? Do we live it? So that's what the seminar is challenging us to live this fact, this existential, or what do you want to say, ontological fact. Okay, so go to slide 6. All right. No, not that one. Yeah, you got to keep right. Oops. There it is. Okay, go to the first. So I conceived of this seminar in three parts. Actually, I didn't know what to do with all the research that was coming my way in Hawaii in 2011. As soon as I decided to do this, Krishna was flooding me with good material. And one fine Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi, back in June 2011, I just decided to do what I'd never done before, the unthinkable, fast completely on Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi. I might die. What's going to happen here? No, one drop of water, not one morsel of food. What am I going to do? Anyway, I didn't die. And in fact, as the day wore on, and I was chanting right in front of Prabhupada's Murti in Honolulu, I began to get a very clear message. And the message was, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Do that. But I had a doubt, because usually you hear this in connection with what? When you hear that phrase, what do you think of? Yeah, Chaitanya Chaitamrita, the whole Vedantic progression of how to, of loving Krishna. First, we understand, we get knowledge of our relationship with Him, right? And then we engage in the process. Sambandha is knowledge of the relationship. Abhideya, you know, acting on that knowledge, engaging in the process of devotional service. And then Prayojana, tasting the fruit of the process, love of God. So I liked it. I liked the message I was getting, but I had a doubt. Can I apply this to Prabhupada? So I wrote my godbrother, the late, great Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, and I said, Gopi, I got this message from Prabhupada, how to use the material I'm getting, but I don't know if it's right, because usually we just hear about in connection with developing love for Krishna. So he said, yeah, it's a little innovative, but you know, in our ISKCON Sangha, Prabhupada is so powerful and pure and transparent to Krishna. Practically speaking, when you're developing love for Prabhupada, it's tantamount to developing love for Krishna. So do it. So I said, okay. So that's what I did. So the full seminar, the first three lessons, you know, if we were to take the whole thing, I just want to give you a little taste. We do introductions, why we're here, why do we need this? You know, I mean, ostensibly, Prabhupada's already fully square in the center, you know, the movement. So why am I hearing wherever I go? Devotees saying, whether they're new, they're old, they're in the temple, they're in the congregation, they're telling me the same thing. Boy, do we need this. So why are they saying that? So we go, we talk about that, and then I solicit opinions, you know, from why are you here? Why do you want to hear this seminar? And then we go into a little Guru Tattva basics review. And then from there we go into the signature lesson of the whole seminar, and that's the one we're going to be doing this morning. Srila Prabhupada, our founder, Acharya. We look at Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and tradition of what it means, who and what is a founder Acharya, and then we're going to explore how Prabhupada fulfilled that role, you know, unprecedentedly, par excellence. So, okay, do the next. Yeah, and then the Abhideya, there's four sections of Abhideya. I'm giving a taste of this because Sitaram Prabhu gave me a schedule for the week, but, you know, maybe based on what you see, you want more. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe there will be an evening class. It's up to you folks. Okay, Abhideya. And then, you know, based on the deepened knowledge of what it means that Prabhupada is related to all of us as our founder Acharya, then we take a look at his mission and how we can deepen our service to the mission. We engage in that process. So the lessons four and five are kind of like a mini Lilamrita, looking at from his meeting Saraswati Thakur all the way up to leaving for America. And then the next lesson, it's got all these garden metaphors. You should like that in England, garden metaphors. From seed to buds. Seed is the first meeting. Buds is like jhansi, you know, first action happening. And then lesson five, mission, the second part of the mission, his ISKCON branch, which Prabhupada calls ISKCON. It's a branch of the Chaitanya tree. And then we look at the unfulfilled aspect of the mission and why there's so much confusion about it. Varnashram, clearing the confusion. Hopefully we clear it. We don't muddle it more. And then finally, the last lesson in that segment, Abhideya, is we take a look at how to find our mission within his mission. Boy, you know, this body is 65 years old. It took me so long to find my mission in the mission. Don't wait like I did. Don't wait till you're old. You know, go for it. Go for it now. Don't float. You know, find your best contribution. And to do that, we need help. We need mentors. We need good sangha. We need good association, good guides. And then when you find your mission within the mission, everything gets really fun. More fun. I mean, it's always fun. Susukam kartam avyam. It's, if we're doing it right, it's fun. But it gets more fun when you get out of your drama. I'm speaking to myself now. You get out of your own little drama and you enter Krishna's drama, Lord Chaitanya's drama. Okay, so prayojana. Then we look at what love means. Prabhupada's famous, you know, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. That's where it starts. And then just before we get into your Srila Prabhupada, because we all have a unique, even if it's latent or just in a potential state, foundational relationship with Prabhupada, we do an exorcism. We try to exorcise impersonal and sentimental fictions about Prabhupada. And we have, but believe me, they're lurking. They're lurking in our hearts and we have to get rid of them. Impersonal fictions, you know, imagine it, misconceptions. And sentimental misconceptions. So, that, why do we do that? That's because if we're going to talk about your Srila Prabhupada, we have to be getting authentic Prabhupada, not simply some imaginary Prabhupada. So, that's the overview. We're going to go again to Lesson 3 today, Srila Prabhupada, our founder, Acharya. So, Ravindra Prabhu, if you could go to slide 12. Can you hear me all right? Yeah, there's no need for this, huh? Or maybe I'll... Oh, online, huh? That's cool. Good. Then we will surrender. Okay, where is Srila Prabhupada? Right here. I used a lot of slides from the manor because my godbrother Bhargava Prabhu took a lot of good shots here in 73. So many emotions you see Prabhupada display. Very humble, very meditative, very grave, very playful. Right out there. Right out, where are we? Right out there, right? Is it? Yeah. Right out on the lawn. So, yeah, there he is, Srila Prabhupada. Our founder, Acharya. Okay. So let's look at, whoop, I got to point it there. Huh? Ooh, it's not going to work. It's too far away? Oh, yeah, I didn't give you a thing. Okay. Yep. Is it still installing or? Let's find out. Yeah, you're okay. Who is that? It's Google Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva, according to Google, Google Images. Who and what is a founder? We'll forgive them. There's no Ganesh, there's no Himalayas. You know, be generous to Google. Looks pretty good, though. Okay, who and what is a founder of Acharya? Where did that, what strikes you when you hear the phrase, first of all, founder of Acharya? What is Tattvavit? I'm going to see if he's got his editor's cap on. What's interesting about that phrase? Put you on the spot. Yeah, but just take the two words. I'll give you a hint. Founder, Acharya. They're different languages. It's a hybrid. Somebody coined that. Who coined it? Ah, Hare Krishna. I always thought Bhaktivinoda Thakur coined it because the Thakur was the first person to really, to my knowledge, to write in English. You know, a pure devotee writing in English and reaching out and reestablishing bhakti, and not only reestablishing the good name of bhakti, convincing the Bhadralok, the Bengali aristocracy, that bhakti wasn't debauched and Vedic culture wasn't backward, etc., etc. In fact, it's the cream of all philosophy, science, religion. Then the Thakur reached out, and as we know, he sent Sri Chaitanya his life and precepts to McGill University, other colleges in Canada, and he wrote beautiful poems. He wrote in Bengali, Sanskrit, English, Hindi. And also what reinforced my idea that he coined the phrase was that some ISKCON swamis and scholars have translated Harinama Chintamani, in which we have a verse referring to Sampradaya Acharya, Adi Guru, Siksha Pratishta Guru. They've translated as founder Acharya. But the Thakur never said that. But in Harinama Chintamani, what the Thakur did do implicitly was equate the founders of Sampradayas. Who were the four founders? Raise your hand. If you know, the four Adi Gurus of the four Sampradayas. Brahma, right? Lakshmi. Kumaras. Shiva, right? So, implicitly, but not explicitly, the Thakur does in Harinama Chintamani in this one verse. He equates the two. He connects them. Maybe equates the wrong. Connects them. And you would miss that unless years later his illustrious son, his Raya Vishnu son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in collaboration with a scholarly disciple of his, Professor Nishikant N.K. Sanyal, who became Narayan Das, Bhakti Sudhakar Narayan Das, they were very close. They edited the Harmonist. They were like this. And when Sanyal wrote his Sri Chaitanya's Sri Krishna Chaitanya projected trilogy, he got two books out. You find Founder Acharya in there. So here's what Sanyal says in, yes, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Tattvavit Prabhu, you want to read this? It means Nimbarka. Okay, so, and in other places he identifies those four. Who are the four? Nimbarka, Vishnu Swami, Madhva, and Ramanuja. They're the four representatives in Kali Yuga of the Adi Gurus. Okay, so you see the phrase in there, Founder Acharya, the four Founder Acharyas. Okay, now, what are the characteristics of a Founder Acharya? Okay, so I drew on two sources for this. First was in the Sri Sampradaya, Lakshmi Sampradaya, and who's the most famous preacher in the Sri Sampradaya? Ramanujacharya. There's a shastra there called Prapanamrita Tapana. And here are the characteristics listed of the founder Acharya there. Let's see, who wants to read? Some Mataji, lady? Yes, the big bad era in ISKCON we went through in the 80s after Prabhupada left, and we had gross imitation of Prabhupada's position as founder Acharya. The mistake was, in our immaturity and maybe some personal ambition in some cases, we were thinking, or some people were thinking, that to succeed the Foundaracharya in time means somehow or other to replace him in importance. That's not the case. That was a big, big mistake. Havoc. Havoc was created. So the Foundaracharya, he's called Udarik, Udarika, savior of everyone, assisted by Upakarika, masters who succeed him to execute his mission. So if you go, for example, to Sri Rangam, the seat of the Ramanuja line, Ramanuja branch of the Sri Sampradaya, or if you go to Udupi in Karnataka, you see how tight they are and how close they are, how together they are. What's the word I'm trying to... united. United they are, because they're all giving each other their Foundaracharya. He's the transparent medium. He's the currency with which they exchange. He's the center of their lives. Their lives, for all generations. So how long is, like, this year is the 1,000th anniversary of Ramanuja's birth. How has it survived for 1,000 years? Because they're totally Ramanuja-focused. All generations of Shiksha, Diksha, Vartrapadarsha, Gurus totally rally around their Foundaracharya. Okay, Udarika. Thank you, Maharaji. And the next one, Prabhu. Whoop, whoop. Prabhu. Yeah, we can't help but think of the very name of our Foundaracharya, Abhay Charanaravinda, one who was fearless at the lotus feet of Krishna. Next. Mataji, some Mataji? Yes, he has that capacity to write definitive, authoritative, conclusive, not only books, but songs. Why songs? That sounds like it could be a minor thing. What is it about songs? Yes, some musician? All devotees. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. Well, this is the medium. What is it about the medium of music? Yes, it captures our hearts. When Mukunda Maharaj, when he was opening up San Francisco, famously with his Janaki and Jamuna and Gurudas and Shamsundar and Malati, and then he read something that George Harrison, who donated this estate, wrote. George said, "Yeah, the mantra is the way into the music, you know." So Mukunda read that, and he wrote a letter to George. And he said, actually, it's the other way around. He didn't think George would ever read it, but he wanted to set the record straight. He just, like putting a letter in a ship's bottle and putting it out to sea. And then later, when Mukunda met George, in England, in London, when Mukunda introduced himself, immediately George said, "Oh, you're Mukunda. You wrote me the letter." "You wrote me, now I understand that the music's a way to the mantra." Right? Yeah. So the spiritual world, we've come from a place where every word is a song and every step is a dance. So even reflected in the material world, it moves people, it arouses people. It's people march to war to music. People make love to music. People eat to music. They do everything to music. So the pure devotee, he not only writes books, but he purports, and he sings songs, and he purports the songs. Okay. Anyone? Raise your hand if you want to read. I don't know your names. Mataji. Now, in our case, that's a little embryonic, because many people have heard Hare Krishna, but fewer people have heard of Prabhupada's name. I was once distributing Back to Godhead magazine in 1972 on Forbes Avenue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is a real Kali Yuga city, because even the beer, it's called the Iron City, even the beer is called Iron City Beer. That is Kali Yuga city, where they name the beer after iron, So I was distributing BTGs, and I was, passing it out, so I gave a BTG to a guy, and he opened up the cover, and in those days, in the early 70s, it was the practice of the editors to put Prabhupada's face right in the inside cover. So the guy opens up the BTG, just a man on the street, Pittsburgh. He said, "Is that Hare Krishna?" So I had to make a split-second decision. Was I going to explain the theology of Sakshad Hari Tvedasamasta Shastriya, you know? What was I going to say? So I went, "Yeah, that's Hare Krishna." Give him a start, right? So as time goes on, more and more Prabhupada's name will be spread all over the three worlds. Eveyash Gushuk Tribhuvan. But because Prabhupada, he came to spread Krishna's glories, not his own glories, most people still don't know about Srila Prabhupada. But as time goes on, it will be, his fame will be spread all over the three worlds. Now, that's Prabhupada Chapana. Now we go to the Gaudiya Shastra Harinama Chintamani, where, again, the Adi Guru's qualifications are implicitly identified or connected with the founder Acharyas in the Kali Yuga. I don't know if I made that clear, but they are connected. And the proof is what his son and his literary editor did in the Harmonist magazine in the Gaudiya Mission, referring to Srila Saraswati Thakur as a founder Acharya. Most of the time they called him the president of Acharya of the Gaudiya Math. But also what Professor Sanyal wrote in that book, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, connecting those founder acharyas in Kali Yuga with the Adi gurus of the Sampradaya. So based on that, we can talk further about the founder acharya possessing great spiritual strength. You know, like Srila Prabhupada talking day and night about Krishna. Jai Gauri Prabhu. Hari Bol. Come on in. And we couldn't keep up with him on morning walks. You've heard all the stories. And yeah, just day and night, indefatigable. Okay, who would like to read the next one? Prabhu, you read that. Yes, in the era of imitation, you know, it was Prabhupada's position was really, really obscured. Really obscured. And today we're still suffering from the ghost of that imitation. So whatever we write, and Prabhupada did want us to write and speak like anything amidst the ever-changing times and places and circumstances, but they're meant to bring people to the founder Acharya's foundational teachings, because Prabhupada is uniquely empowered, as we'll see as this lesson goes on, to inspire people. Just his voice, if you know, if you listen, if you're a student of Prabhupada's recordings, his voice is full of tattva and rasa. You know, he's given us A, B, C, 2, X, Y, Z. He's given us everything. And he is the resident of Vrindavan. We're to follow. We don't need really anybody else. Although, to balance that, when we talk about connecting with Prabhupada, we're not just connecting with Prabhupada. We're connecting with any sincere and serious follower of Prabhupada. We need everything. We need the whole Sampradaya. We need founder Acharya. We need Diksha, Shiksha Guru, Varnva Pandarshika. We need the GBC. We'll talk about that too. So his teachings supersede all others and are compulsory for his followers. So when the founder Acharya is imitated and the foundation is neglected, what happens? All the stories that are built on top of the foundation that over time is neglected, it weakens and everything collapses. We've had whole yatras collapse, practically. You suffered a lot here in this part of the world. You know, so you can't ever, as you're assisting the founder Acharya in his mission, you're never to replace him. You're simply to, we have to enhance each other's relationship with him. And that's guru. That's guru. Kiva birpa kiva nyasi shudra keni noe, whatever varna and ashram we're in. Yes, Tattvavit Prabhu. No, I think I'd better do it the other way, because if you do have a question, and by the way, these PowerPoints will be available. You don't need to write down points, but if I see your writing, I'm going to assume you're going to have questions. So we'll stop. I'm hoping to stop by 8:30, just so I make sure I get through the material. Yeah, this material is going to provoke tons of questions. Okay, so what's the next? Holds a unique post. I read that. Sorry. Okay, so let's go to 1967. Srila Prabhupada is trying to recover from a heart attack he had in New York. He tried in New Jersey. It didn't work. It was all cloudy and cold. He went to the West Coast, even in the summer. San Francisco is famously, there's only one season in San Francisco. It's fall. American writer Mark Twain once quipped, the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. So Prabhupada, he's at El Paradiso, this little bungalow. He couldn't go to the Ratha Yatra, the first Ratha Yatra that Jayananda and company commandeered, you know, on his Hertz rent-a-truck. If you've seen the pictures, the deities are facing, you know, different directions. Anyway, the truck goes up to El Paradiso. And while Prabhupada is at the Ratha Yatra, three people stayed back with Prabhupada to take care of him. It was Mukunda, Prabhu at the time, Hayagriva, and Kirtananda. Not Swami yet. Okay, so Hayagriva and Kirtananda, they're bugging Mukunda, and they say, Mukunda, ask him. And he's saying, what? What do you want me to ask him? Ask him what's going to happen. We know he's going to go to India to get his health back. And what's going to happen to us if he doesn't come back? He might just pass away. So Mukunda, he's got some manners, if you know Mukunda Maharaj. So he said, I don't want to ask him that. That's impertinent. That's disrespectful. That's impolite. So they bullied him and they forced him. And so while they pushed Mukunda in the room, they were at the door like this, listening. Right? So here's, if as recorded in Miracle on 26th Second Avenue, here is the, I think it's in this lesson. I'll try to remember it if I didn't write it here. Yeah, I think it's in another place. Okay. Anyway. So, Mukunda says, Swamiji, and the seagulls are shrieking, and the Pacific is pounding, the surf is pounding against the cliffs, and the dogs are barking, and Swamiji,
yes,
what will happen if you go to India and you don't come back? Should we get one of your godbrothers to come and be our, I'm paraphrasing now, but this is the gist of it, and teach us and be our master? And so Prabhupada didn't say anything at first. He just didn't say anything. And then he said something under his breath. And then Mukunda says, I'm sorry, Swami, I didn't catch that. And Mukunda, the way he writes it in the book, he says, I knew by this time I never should have asked this question. I felt like shrinking into the floorboards. You know, it was, and so Prabhupada finally says in a little louder voice, he said, and they're calling him Swamiji at this point, he said, actually it is insult. It is insult. And then Mukunda just starts apologizing. He says, I'm sorry, Swamiji. I Kirtanan and Hayagriva are at the door listening. And so, and then finally Prabhupada gets very emotional. And he says, my spiritual master, he saved me. Now remember that Srila Prabhupada is not just speaking as the Diksha Guru of a handful of, you know, counterculture refugees, you know, ex-hippies. He's speaking as someone who knows, because he's Tri Kala Gya, that this ISKCON movement is going to take off. And at some point, he hasn't done it yet, he's going to have to declare himself as the founder Acharya. That's the very heavy, momentous decision he had to make. Although his own spiritual master was the founder Acharya of the Gaudiya Math, if you know the history, they didn't follow his instructions. And so the Math, as a concerted mission, it still exists in isolated Maths, but as a mission, it effectively dissolved. And he didn't want that to happen to ISKCON. So he had to make the very heavy decision to declare himself in 1970, finally, as the founder Acharya. So Hayagriva later wrote in his book, The Hare Krishna Explosion, he wrote that later Swamiji said, you should have known. There's no one to replace me. You know, he didn't say it proudly, but there's no one to replace. If they say anything, one word different, you will be totally confused. Why did Prabhupada say that? Because by dint of his absolute surrender, to his Guru Maharaj, the previous acharyas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was uniquely empowered to know how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world according to time, country, and candidate. So he holds a unique post. Some lady read? Yes, even that happened at the end when Prabhupada, out of his humility, apologized to his godbrothers for saying and writing very heavy things. He didn't just say heavy things, he wrote it in books about what happened to his spiritual master's mission. So he had Tamal Krishna Maharaj call them to his bedside to apologize, and Prabhupada called himself Mahapatita, greatly fallen. And so the leader of the group, Puri Maharaj, said, "No, no, you're Mahapatita Pavana. You saved so many people. You rule us. You lead us." When we were compiling the biography, I was part of the biography research team. Satsrup Maharaj gave himself the assignment of going across the river from Mayapur into Navadvip and asking Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj if it was only our Prabhupada that had the order to spread Krishna consciousness, you know, in foreign countries. And Sridhar Maharaj said, "Oh no, Saraswati Thakur was always saying this. We all had the order. But your Swami Maharaj, he did it. He actually did it." So, he's the leader of all Vaishnavas when physically present. And Prabhu. Can I repeat what? Okay, all right. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. So, sorry, online folks. The next point about Founder Acharya is that he awards power of attorney to his followers through adherence to his teachings. He's so powerful and pure and transparent to Krishna that he's actually able to make many pure devotees. And we're going to see that as this lesson goes on. Okay, so write down your questions and comments, and we're going to get to them in about 20 minutes. Okay, Founder Acharya exemplars, great examples of Founder Acharyas. And they're all recognizable. There's Ramanuja on the far right to the most remote in time, and then there's Madhva, and there's Srila Saraswati Thakur. What strikes you? Is there anything striking about those three? Two of them seem to be similar, and one seems to be a little different in terms of Founder Acharya. That's a big hint. Yes, Prabhu? He's what? He's white. Oh. Oh. Something a little more substantive. That's very... Are you a photographer? Okay. My daughter is, so... Very good. Okay, a little more deeper. That's a good start. Ladies, anybody? Two out of three. What? Yes. Okay. I better just cut to the chase here. Two out of three. Yeah, that's good. Two out of three were recognized by Srila Saraswati Thakur and Professor Sanyal in Sri Chaitanya's, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, as being Founder Acharyas for the Kali Yuga, right? Ramanuja representing the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and Madhva representing Brahma. But Saraswati Thakur, he's also called, he allowed himself to be called Founder Acharya in these Gaudiya publications. What was qualifying him to be a Founder Acharya? Okay, well, along with those qualities we just read, there's another thing. A Founder Acharya actually found something. So he founded the Gaudiya Math. He was the first one to take Vaishnavism out of India, you know, in an authentic way. He came here, right? I heard he made one lady disciple, is that true? In England, in London? Okay. Right, but he sent his preachers. And then they also went to Germany. I think they had more success in Germany, somebody was telling me. Anyway, they're all on the level of Founder Acharya. They take the Sampradaya in a dynamic direction. They kind of refresh the Sampradaya. and therefore their founder Acharya. Okay, now we're going to get into our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. Who predicted our founder Acharya's advent? Who can say from a Purana? Anybody know the Puranic prediction of Prabhupada's appearance? Yes. No, Puranic. Krishna. Where did Krishna and the Puranas predict Prabhupada's appearance? Anybody know? Yes. You do? No. Not before Bhagavatam. Yeah, but give me something else. Krishna predicted, yes, do you know? No, that's another one. And that's not Padma Purana, that's Sri Chaitanya Mangala. Yeah. Okay, so all the holy rivers. Krishna's living in Dwarka, right, as a prince. He's got 16,108 queens, and the Kurukshetra war is over, and the holy rivers sense something bad is going to happen because Chris is going to leave the planet. They know it. So they approach Ganga, their spokes lady, and they say, Ganga, Chris is going to leave the planet. And all these people, Kali Yuga is going to come in, inundate, and all these sinful people in Kali Yuga are going to bathe in our waters. They're going to use us as a toxic waste dump. They're going to dump all their pop, all their sinful activities in our waters. We don't like this. And you too, Ganga. So, let me just get the page before I give you the punchline. So please approach Krishna and Dwarka and tell him this is no good. We can't, of course I'm putting it all in our vernacular, but this is the idea. They were very concerned. And so, let's see. Yeah. Okay, so here's what Ganga said. She said, according to the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, O Lord, we can see that your pastimes are about to end and people are becoming more and more materialistic. You have been very merciful to us. After you leave, however, all the sinful people of Kali Yuga will bathe in our waters and we will become overwhelmed with sinful reactions. Smiling, the Lord replied, let's get some lady to read this. Who wants to be Ganga? Whoop.
After 5,000 years, my mantra,
Upasaka,
worshipper of the holy name, will appear in this world and spread the chanting of my holy name everywhere.
Yes, and not only that, the Lord said this. Not only in Bharat Varsh, but also all over the world, people will chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by this chanting, the whole world will become Ekavarna, one designation, namely Hari Bhaktas, devotees of Lord Hari. And because, this is where Krishna turns the very words of Ganga's complaint, he turns it back on her. This is like they do this in jujitsu. They use the energy of the opponent against the opponent, right? So here's what Krishna, he throws it right back to Ganga. He says, and because the devotees of Lord Hari are so pure, anyone who contacts them will become purified from sinful reactions. These pure devotees will visit Bharat Varsha and purify you of sinful reactions by bathing in your sacred waters. This period of... Confirmed. This period of worldwide chanting of Hare Krishna will continue for 10,000 years. So, Prabhupada, sometimes he would refer to this, but he never told us where it came from. It came from this passage in the Brahma Vivarta Purana. He didn't identify himself as that obvious mantra upasaka. He's the one who did it. He carried it all over the world. So his prediction, his appearance was predicted in the Brahma Vivarta Purana. By the way, this appeared in Prabhupada's Centennial Vyas Puja book. And the introduction written by Lokanath Maharaj, he says here, this mantra upasaka is Srila Prabhupada. He himself often said, Jai. He himself often said that there will be a period of 10,000 years, a golden age within Kali Yuga, when the whole world will become Krishna conscious. So that's a Vedic reference. Who knows the Gaudiya reference? Prabhu, you started to mention. Chaitanya Mangala. What did Narada Muni and Lord Chaitanya had a conversation? Do you know this conversation? Yeah? Well, what did he say? No, it wasn't quite like that. That's a good embellishment, though. We like these embellishments. Okay. So, mobile check, please. Thank you. In another book entitled Chaitanya Mangala, it is recorded that Narada Muni, while visiting the spiritual world, came upon Lord Gauranga. So Narada Muni, he's concerned about, because he's a very compassionate preacher, and he can go anywhere. No, you know, go completely material, spiritual world. So he was concerned about what's going to happen in Kali Yuga. So Lord Chaitanya said this. He told him of his mission to destroy the sinful activities of the age of Kali. Quote, with the powerful chopper of Nam Sankirtan, he said, I will cut the hard knots of demoniac desires from the hearts of everyone. Even if the sinners reject religion, this is what intelligent people do in Kali Yuga. They reject religion because religion is supposed to be the PR person, so to speak, for God. But what often happens is the very PR people, they push people away. They create wars, they create sectarian divisions, they divide people. It's no good. So intelligent people often reject religion. And we see that going on today, right? But even if they flee to foreign countries, still they will get my mercy. And by foreign countries, he means outside of Bharatvarsh. I will send, and here it is. Who wants to read? Gauri Prabhu, read this, please. Even if the
sinners reject religion or flee to foreign countries, I will send more Senapati Bhakta, my military field commander, to go there and deliver them. Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mangala.
Yeah. Somebody had the temerity, the audacity to suggest that the reason they didn't go across the ocean is because they had no tendency to associate with low-class people, as though that's why Prabhupada came, right? Give me a break. Prabhupada came because he had the compassion to do it. He had the depth of compassion to come. Okay, so, obviously that military field commander is Srila Prabhupada. He actually exploded Krishna consciousness all over the world. It's extraordinary when you think about it, how someone could cut through so many designations of race, ethnicity, you know, history, and connect with people, sometimes instantly. The fastest ignition of a country into Krishna consciousness I know of is in Fiji, where Prabhupada was on a connecting flight. He was catching a connecting flight in Fiji. And this Indian businessman, Fijian Indian businessman, comes up to him and says, Swamiji, what are you doing? He was fascinated by Srila Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada proceeded to tell him about his whole mission in the next 45 minutes before he got on the plane. And the person was very interested. So by the end of the talk, Prabhupada said, Sam, you should open up temple. Open up temple here in Fiji. And he did. And he became the GBC of Fiji. That is potent. That's quick. Okay. So there's Shastra, there's Vedic, there's Gaudiya. And how about Sadhu, Guru? Who else? This is more known to you, perhaps. Raise your hand if you know what great soul predicted Prabhupada's appearance. Raise your hand. Anybody? No. Well, that's something. Yeah, okay. But who wrote that book? Prabhu. Yes, and here it is. You win the prize. Please read that. He not only said it, he wrote it. He wrote it down. The Sajjana Toshini morphed in the 1920s as the harmonist. The harmonist became the English language organ of the Gaudiya Mission. So the Thakur predicted it in 1885. He saw so many things. You go to his place in Svananda Sukhada Kunj across the Jalungi in Mayapur. You can stand on the veranda where Prabhupada saw that Adbhuta Mandir that's going up now. And he saw us all coming together, chanting Jaya Sachi Nanda and Gaur Hari from all the different countries. And he saw this. He saw that a great personality would appear who's going to go all over the world and preach Krishna consciousness. Now, let's go back to Tatvavit's comment about the Bhagavat Purana. Some of us in ISKCON, we like to... It's not so much a prediction of Prabhupada's advent as the advent of Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. Where is that? Is this what you were thinking of, Tatvavit Prabhu? Where is that predicted? Yes. Yes. Let's chant. Everybody know this? Tadvang visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abadhavatyapi namanyanantasya shonkitaniyat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadavam. This is the follow-up verse to 1.5.10. Narada's scolding Vyas. He said, look, you've written all these beautiful books, but you haven't directly glorified Krishna. And that literature, which doesn't do that, is Vyasam Tirtha. It's a pilgrimage for crows. He's talking of, Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata. He's talking all these Puranas. This is pilgrimage for crows. This is Narada's ecstasy, right? He wants to bring his disciple to a higher level. So he says, on the other hand, that literature, which is full of descriptions of the name, fame, form, qualities, and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation. It's meant for bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such literature, even though imperfectly composed, abaddhavatyapi, is heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So, Prabhupada, when he wrote his preface to the original Bhagavatam, it's not there anymore because, as he told his BBT workers, make it presentable for the intelligent class. So there was a standing order to make it like that. I'm trying to find the quote here. Anyway, Prabhupada's begging the reader in his original preface to those Indian Bhagavatams, please understand this. We're not so much concerned with we're more concerned with the techniques, the spiritual technology here. Then it's not, I know it's not the king's English, but don't go away. Just be patient. And so it actually worked in Prabhupada's favor, because if you ever read those books, and those were the only books, because that's all Prabhupada came with, 40 Indian rupees and 200 sets of Bhagavatams. So he was, as Prabhupada said, Krishna sent me to your country a pauper, but he was so rich with Divya Gyan. And we'd read these books, and in this learner's English, and it was very endearing. It's like if somebody's trying to speak English and it's not their first language, you're just hanging on every word. Yeah, come on. That's right. Yeah, you can say it, So Prabhupada's writing in this learner's English, and the information is so amazing, and it's just mystical. So you're hanging on every word. So it actually worked in Prabhupada's favor. Okay, so that's kind of an indirect. So we say Narada Muni indirectly. This is our ecstasy in ISKCON. Predicted Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. Okay. So, let's go. Okay, so how did Lord Chaitanya set the world stage for Srila Prabhupada's advent? So, I'll give you a hint. What's Lord Chaitanya? A lot of conch blasts around here. It's good. How did Lord Chaitanya set the stage? What is he doing there, Tatvavit Prabhu? What's he doing in the picture? No, that's the hint. There he is. There it is. What's he doing? Yes. He created a bhakti renaissance in the subcontinent of India. He excavated the holy name. It's in the scripture how it's so potent. But Lord Chaitanya, he excavated and broadcast it as being the Yuga Dharma. So let's see here. You can read that. Tantravit Prabhu. Now, by Lord Chaitanya's inscrutable will, not 100 years after he left, the whole movement was inundated by unfortunate characters. Sahajas, Mayavadis, for 200 years after that, it became discredited, the whole bhakti movement. It was just, you know, alive in the hearts and minds of pure devotees carrying on the Bhagavad or Shiksha Parampara. But, you know, as far as the people in general were concerned, they... By the 19th century, no respectable person in India would have anything to do with bhakti. It wasn't until the Thakur came. Some lady like to read? Yes, our founder Acharya would refer to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the pioneer of the Krishna consciousness movement. In the world, he conceived of Nam Hut, and he conceived of a governing body commission, and he saw the Adbhuta Mandir, and he was pioneering. He had the vision. He was the first to think globally like that. And then, but he knew he couldn't do it himself. His life wasn't going to last that long, so he prayed for the ray of Vishnu. His son, Bimal Prasad Datta, came along, and who became eventually Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, Prabhu, you want to read the next one?
In the early 20th century, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Bodhi mission spread Krishna consciousness throughout India and sent the first Vaishnava preachers to Europe.
Yes. Revolutionary, unprecedented. And what was their opinion, though? Like you probably know because you're in the UK here, Prabhupada talks about on a tape of how the Marquis of Jetland, the Marquis of Zetland, that's how you say, or Shetland, the Shetland Islands. They, Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? And so I forget which god brother it was, some sannyasi. Oh, sure, just follow these regulations. No intoxication, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling.
Impossible.
Yeah. So, basically, the mood of the sannyasis coming back from that journey was it was impossible. These people are animals, you know, and they're having a hard time understanding how Mahaprabhu's statement, you know, priti viti achayata nagarati gram, in every town and village my name will be sung. They think this must be some metaphor, because these people are incorrigible. It's part of our founder Acharya's glory, right? He turned people into human beings. You know, but to speak of devotees, first you have to become a human being. And so Lord Chaitanya set the stage by sending Saraswati Thakur. And then, let's see, Now in the 1960s, real fine-tuning, stage setting. Here, I'm gonna blank it. 1961 through 65, before Prabhupada even came, some extraordinary event happened on the world religion stage. Does anybody know the event? Sorry if this is like 20 questions, but... No? On the world stage. It was broader than America. I'll give you a hint. It's in Europe. Think Vatican. 61. Who was the Pope? Any Roman Catholics in the audience? Pope John the 23rd, a very avuncular. He looked like Santa Claus. Everybody loved him, and he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. His belly shook. He started Vatican II, the Second Vatican Council, and he died. Unfortunately, he died in office, but his successor, I forget which one it was, one of the Pauls or. He finished the council in 65, and one very prominent interpretation of the resolutions that came out of Vatican II was that it was for the first time acknowledged by the Roman Catholic Church that God's grace could reveal itself in many ways. It's not that if you weren't a Roman Catholic, you were necessarily going to hell anymore. You know, thank you. So this gave subtle but very profound psychological permission for people who profess to be Roman Catholic to appreciate others' teachings, like the Buddha. There was one young man who was reading the Buddha who became one of Prabhupada's first hearers later on at 26 Second Avenue. And he went to Swamiji and said, "Swamiji," because he was reading Buddhism, "how can I understand that I'm just nothing?" "You are not nothing. You are something. But you're not this body." That was Stephen Guarino, who became Satsarupa Das, who became Satsarupa Maharaj, who ended up being Prabhupada's biographer. So he came from a very strict Roman Catholic family, Irish Catholic mother, Italian Catholic father, and their son was a seeker and a reader and a literary artist. So he was reading the Buddha, and Prabhupada reminded him of the Buddha when he first came to the storefront. Okay, so Vatican II opened up psychologically, it opened up things in many people's minds. You could look at other teachings. Another thing that happened was, In American government, for the first time since World War II, they relaxed their absurdly restrictive Asian immigration laws. I'll tell you, growing up in America, I never saw anybody from Asia. I never saw an Indian person. In 1966, I noticed when I was a college kid working in a factory for the summer, for the first time I met some Indian man. Because in 65, I believe, is when they relaxed the laws. So this is, as Prabhupada would say, these are all the arrangements of Krishna, right? And then finally, probably the biggest fine-tuning stage setting Lord Chaitanya made for Prabhupada was that he gave Prabhupada an audience. It's so impressive when you read the Leelamrita because he's preaching at the top of his voice. Nobody's listening. He's crying alone in the wilderness, as he put it. He's preaching to business people, government people. Nobody cares what he's saying. Once they got independence from Britain, they just wanted to copy the West. They didn't want to give Prabhupada any of their sons to start some movement. So, who's the audience? Yeah, the counterculture. Hippies was created by Time magazine. Us people who were there, we don't like to be called hippies. We were. You can say hippies, that's all right. Prabhupada said hippies. Anyway, yeah, can you imagine? I mean, a time when a whole generation of people are rejecting their parents, their schools, their religion, the government, everything. And they're looking eastward. So, Manaji, why don't you read that? Vatican. You can't, it's hard to see. All right. Yes, we were all journeying to the east. And some of your countrymen here became our Pied Pipers. Who am I talking about? The Beatles, they became our Pied Pipers. And they were looking to the east, and they were being influenced by Prabhupada. So this is all the arrangements of Krishna. Okay. How did Srila Prabhupada manifest the symptoms of a Foundracharya? This is the final frame of the lesson, so we're going to open up for questions. So we heard from the Sri Shastra and from Harinama Chintamani the characteristics of a Foundracharya. We talked about that a little bit. So if you remember some of those characteristics, now we're ready to, we can just read these, I think. Prabhu, you want to read the first one? Again, I mean, like I spend 4 months a year in Mayapur teaching. And it's such a challenge with people coming from all over the world. You know, from different language, cultures, minds, you know, different, like in In America, if somebody's going like this to you, what do you think? It means get away. But what does it mean in Bengal? It means come here. And if somebody's going like this, you think it means no, but in India it means yes. And if you're being served in America and the server says, would you like some more? Oh, no thanks. And they'll go on. But in India, if you say no, then they keep... Because it's polite to do that. And we pride ourselves in being very direct and straightforward and, you know, in your face when we speak. But they think that's like barbaric, right? So in terms of language, body language, culture, background, everybody's so different. But Prabhupada cut through all that as he was circling the globe, and he inspired people on every major continent. He didn't go to Antarctica, and he didn't go to Arctica, so that's why I put every major continent. Okay, what else? Keep reading, Prabhu. Yeah, some say 108. Again. And when did he write those books? What time of day? Wait, you're not answering the question, Prabhu. Are you going to answer this question? Okay. Yes. He actually said that in a few places. He loved Hawaii for the same reason. He was always begging us, will you please relieve me of management and stop asking me all these picayune questions? I'm paraphrasing, but that was the mood. Let me finish the Bhagavatam. And we never did. We never did. But even though he said that, his one stated lamentation was that he hadn't showed us how to live in Varnashram. That's another thing. Okay, so yeah, when we were asleep, finally when us, you know, ex-hippies, counterculture refugees, were asleep, then Prabhupada could peacefully translate in the wee hours of the morning when we were dead to the world. Yeah, foundational shastras. Okay, go ahead. A San Francisco reporter once asked Prabhupada at Ratha Yatra, what will happen when you die?
I will never die. I will live forever in my books.
So, Prabhupada, again, is not just the Diksha Guru of 4,800 people. He's the Siksha Guru of everybody in ISKCON for all people, or for all generations, for all time. And we better get that clear and go deep with it, and not just say, Janme, Janme, Prabhu say, you know, which means, he's my Lord, birth after birth. We just said it. Do we mean it? Do I mean that? Am I going to let Prabhupada rule me? He's not my Diksha. My being his Diksha disciple is secondary to my being his Shiksha follower, and we all have that identity. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, and Prabhupada, I challenge you, you just read Prabhupada's itinerary for 14. You will get exhausted just reading his itinerary. What to speak of living it? There was no such thing as jet lag for Prabhupada. It didn't exist. That's why the servants and the secretaries just, you know, whoa, we couldn't keep up. It was just too much. Prabhupada would say, you're worse than karmis. You're always sleeping. They're working hard. And you're sleeping. Go ahead. Gaudiya Math was also mandated, but they didn't follow. They didn't follow. And Prabhupada warned us, it's not your business to criticize my god brothers, but you have to learn. You have to learn from their mistakes. He didn't want us to be another splintered, you know, fighting, divisive institution. Okay, let's see. Yeah, that's the next. Okay, that is the lesson, pretty much, you know, in a nutshell. But, you know, in a perfect world, there'd be a lot of discussion and back and forth for each point. But maybe You do have some questions, comments. Now I'm getting discouraged because everybody's leaving. But that's all right. All right, Prabhu, I forgot your name.
Indriesh.
Rasamandala Prabhu's brother, right? Yeah.
No, he's my brother.
He's your... Okay. Well done.
It's a huge question, but if the one that mainly comes to mind...
Okay.
...is people say, aren't we doing this already? Aren't we already treating
Like that? Right. That's the first lesson that we didn't do. It's, why do devotees want this seminar? What's the need? Why the need? Okay, I'm going to just throw it out. Why are people telling me, Prabhus, wherever I go? I started piloting this in Philadelphia last September. Where have I been? Philadelphia, New York, Innisfil, Belfast, Radadesh. I did it in Mayapur for the ISKCON Leadership Sangha, and then we had the full seminar for the devotees. And then I went to South India, Coimbatore. I mean, we're talking a real spectrum of karmas here. Why are people telling me the same thing? Boy, do we need this. Why are they saying that? Prabhus? Raise your hand. Yes, Ben. Yeah, okay. And what are we doing when we study Prabhupada's books? We're directly in touch with him in his most intimate moments. I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. I'm just talking now because you're not giving me any more. So why are devotees saying, boy, do we need this? There's no such thing as a foolish answer. Uh-huh. Right. Right. Okay, that's a possibility. Wow, this is really coming up. We're almost dead. Holy smoke. It's that bad, huh?
Yeah, I think we're right on the edge.
Why would that be so? Prabhupada's eternally present in his Vani. There's a hint. Are we in touch with the Vani? Are we? Prabhu, you had your hand up too. Why? Why are people saying this? Yeah. Even Saraswati Thakur, as he left early because he was discouraged. He initiated 60,000 people. And in 1935 at Radhakund, he said to Abhay Charan Arvinda, Agunj will be, there will be fire in the mat. The fire of dissension will spread and destroy. If you ever get money, print books. Yes. That was a response to you by way of saying that the life, the mood, before we go into your comment, we can never lose that. But we do lose it if we drift from Prabhupada's spoken and written word, and how to apply it in the ever-changing time. It's not static. If His Divine Grace was walking physically among us today, he would be doing different, so many things differently. Details, not principles. But he would be adjusting details, right? Yeah. So we have to grow up and understand what's the difference between an unchangeable principle and an adjustable detail. And the more we get that, the more we'll recover our dynamism. Yes. When is it good? When is it good? When is it good? It's very natural. It's very natural. It's very human. It's inevitable that whoever is walking around on the planet, who's face to face with you, it's going to have a big impact on your lives. It's great. It's positive as long as the founder Acharya is the center of that relationship. Yes.
Mm-hmm. People are using what sensibilities they have.
What don't we have? What Prabhupada was there in his Vapu to do that. One time he even disbanded the GBC. He said, for now, don't listen to them. But why? What's the challenge now, post-Vapu Prabhupada? We do have it. We do have Prabhupada and his eternally manifest Vani. But are we availing ourselves of that Vani enough? Are we really focused on his life, his teachings, his mood, his mission? One big theme of this seminar is, if I simply am attracted to Prabhupada's personality, but I don't understand, if I don't read his teachings, I don't, what to speak of, following his teachings, that's very sentimental. And it also, if I study the teachings, but I don't know the person, Bhagavat, and how he applied it in his own life, and how he applied it in expanding ISKCON, that's very dry and impersonal. So in this second to last lesson of the seminar, it's called Fictional Prabhupadas. We dispel impersonal notions of the founder Acharya and sentimental notions. We need both. We need the book and the person to know how to carry on in a very dynamic way. Prabhu.
How do you bridge that gap between insecurity and fear and staying
by growing up? Most of our squabbles in ISKCON are because we don't understand the difference between an unchangeable principle and an adjustable detail. One of the lessons Prabhupada said, he went so far as to say, the reason I'm successful, he says, my godbrother's criticizing me because I let men and women live in the same area, the same temple. But because I have made this adjustment, I am successful. And Shruta Kirti is massaging Prabhupada while Prabhupada is saying this. And Shruta said, yeah, I could never see Prabhupada's face when he was making these comments, so I wish I could have seen his face. But when he said this, my mind was just, you can read it in What is the Difficulty. My mind was turning, and finally I got up the courage and the intelligence to ask the question. And I said, Srila Prabhupada, how do you know what's an, well, it's on the slides. How do you know what the gist of it is an unchangeable principle and an adjustable detail? How do you know that? That's kind of like what you're asking. And Prabhupada did not answer immediately. He let Shruta kind of stew and simmer, and suspense built. And then finally, Prabhupada said, that takes a little intelligence. The understatement of the yuga, right? Still to this day, you know, many of our differences are about this. So, we have to really, really, and the only way to grow up is to really be in touch with Prabhupada's spoken and written word here's the key, in the Sangha of serious and sincere and balanced devotees who are not just armchair philosophers, and who are not just doers, but not thinkers, too. To get the full Prabhupada, we need this. We need we need everybody's Prabhupada, authentic Prabhupada, not inauthentic, but authentic Prabhupadas. We need each other. in a fearless way, in a fearless and mature way. And we're still in process. We're still a work in progress, and we have problems because we're still not mature. But that's okay. It's, you know, from imperfection, purity will come about. And Prabhupada's beautiful vani and deep vani, you know, all tattva and all rasa is there in the vani, is eternally available. It's there. We just have to know how to mine it. So, okay, this is the first lesson. I have an idea if we're going to do this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday mornings. This is the last lesson in the Sambandha section. You just got one lesson of it because there's not time, I guess, for people to take the whole seminar. And then in Abhideya, I decided I think the best thing to do, since we only have three sessions, is to look at how to find our mission, our individual missions, within the greater mission. It's a very interesting lesson about how to do that. And I, again, don't wait, don't do what I did. You know, I waited till I was an old man to find my mission. We have to do it soon. And then I think we'll do, what does love mean? Love means to cooperate. And that's the hardest thing to do in Kali Yuga, cooperate. Okay. All right. And the tendency is, when I give these talks, is to want to go off in so many different directions. We just have to sort of go down like a train on a track. But I am available. I'm staying upstairs, and there's email too, and I'm only here for a week. But what I'm hoping is that this will plant a seed of interest in this seminar, that I will be able to give the whole thing. I could give it when I come back later in the summer. I'm going to be going from America to the Black Sea Festival, and possibly early September I could do a UK tour. But if you, it's got to be serious. People have to want to, you know, do it, make time. And yes. Yeah. I let people record me for the first time in Radhadesh, and then in Mayapur also I let recordings and videos too. There's video, but we're going to go online with the seminar. I'm going to adapt it to the BC online students, so it's going to be accessible. But we have a few more minutes, maybe. I know I'm keeping you late, but they told me I have till 9. If you want to ask one more question. Transition to the next lesson. Having deepened our understanding of our founder Acharya's relationship with all of his followers, we are ready to enter the Abhideya phase of our seminar, How to Act on Our Deepened Understanding Through Service to His Sacred Mission. Prabhupada once said to us, everybody's saying, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why doesn't somebody bring me a glass of water? We got to do something. Love means to do something. Bhakti means devotional service. It doesn't just mean, you know, sentiment. Okay, Prabhu.
For quite some time, I've had some very ambiguous answers to what boiling the milk means when Prabhupada said that in 73. As if to somewhat, just let's slow down and be more introspective. But that has been very, very hard to understand. Still see people running like crazy no tomorrow. And I kind of haven't really looked at what's in front of them. I've looked at this idea of transcendence at the top, which everybody's able to go to for about 5 years. But to maintain it over a life, yeah, through life cycles, right, this is the support mechanism that we're missing.
Yeah, that's called Daiva Varnashram culture. We still haven't done it, and we've suffered like anything. Prabhupada. Well, you know what it means. It means quality. And because Lord Chaitanya's movement is a mass movement, it's not just for the class, it's for everybody. He's Patita Pavana. There's always going to be people coming in, and there's always a process to refine us, to, you know, turn the diamonds in the rough into diamonds. So it means we have to have serious education and then serious application. We haven't, you know, in 1974, Prabhupada said, connected with every temple, there should be a Varnashram college. We haven't done that. But that's very, very important. I mean, we're just at the gate still. But it's all there. It's how to do it is all there. Prabhupada lamented because he didn't have time to show us. And what people show, that's what sticks. We can distribute books until we're blue in the face, which I still do. But when we can show the world a better way to live, they'll start to read the books. And maybe we will too. Deeper. So, quality. So there's always going to be, the pot's always going to be, you know, filling, the more we attract people to Krishna. But then there always has to be a cooking down process too. It's called education. The purpose, 6, 7 purposes of ISKCON, they're all about education, either directly or indirectly. We don't do it enough. We need to do it more, and we need to apply it more, and then we'll have something to show. We can talk more about this. Okay, so everybody going to come tomorrow. We're going to talk about finding our mission in the mission. Thank you for listening. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.